Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath and happy High Holy Day, too. So, it's a beautiful day outside. It's a beautiful inside. It's good to see everyone here. It's good to see all of our guests that we have with us today. Today, we're going to talk about the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. It's a holy day. We've gathered together where God said his name, so we're going to talk about the Feast of Trumpets. So the Feast of Trumpets, we know, it introduces the autumn festivals, representing the conclusion of the present age of man and the beginning of the incredible time during which God will play a much more direct part in world events. Indeed, this festival, a holy day, signals the intervention of God in the affairs of humanity, on a global basis. The Feast of Trumpets represents a dramatic turning point in mankind's history. And again, the things that we're going over today, we know these. This is a review of things that we're going to be doing. So this particular festival also marks the beginning of the third and final feast season. For reference scriptures, you can look at Exodus 23, verse 14. Exodus 23, verse 14, and also Deuteronomy 16, 16, which is one of the scriptures we always turn to on the holy days, which includes the final four holy days of the year. So, this is squealing just a little bit. So let's talk about the return of Jesus Christ. The return of Jesus Christ. You know, the festival or the Feast of Trumpets depicts nothing less than the return of Jesus Christ to the earth to establish his kingdom and the kingdom of God. And the book of Revelation reveals a sequence of earth-shaking events heralded by angels sounding a series of seven trumpet blasts. Now, we're going to be going through several scriptures. They'll be up on the screen. So as we get into it a little bit further, we'll be going pretty fast. So the first scripture is Revelation 11 and verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15. It says, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It's just a comforting scripture. The Bible foretells that at this time Jesus Christ will at last return to the earth. Of all the prophecies in the Bible, this one surely heralds the most exciting possible news for this weary, sinful world. The things that we've been going through, it's tiring. But we know that it's got to get worse before it gets better. The Feast of Trumpets also marks the future fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies that speak of a Messiah coming as a king of the line of David who will sit on the throne of Israel and rule with power and authority over all nations. The concept of a conquering Messiah was on the minds of the apostles immediately after Christ's resurrection, when he appeared to them just before returning to heaven. They asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? That was taken from Acts 1 and verse 6. Acts 1 and verse 6. Even in his early ministry, Christ had spoken of distinctions between his first and second coming. And when Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, questioned him before the crucifixion, Jesus stated clearly that he had not come to rule at that time. Let's look at John 18, verses 36 and 37. John 18, verses 36 and 37. Beginning in verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So after Christ's resurrection, the apostles excitedly anticipated the fulfillment of Jesus' promises, and they were aware of messianic prophecies. If you'll join me in Isaiah 9, we'll read verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So in answer to the apostles' question as to whether he would then establish the kingdom, we see in Acts 1 and verse 7, it says, "And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." So we don't know the exact time. We don't know the exact date. Instead, Christ told them to focus on spreading the gospel. Spreading the gospel, the good news, throughout the world. Later, in due time, the apostles realized that his second coming was not necessarily imminent, so it wasn't going to happen just immediately. Numerous scriptures, brethren, describe the saints as eagerly looking forward to his return. So another question we could ask is, why the symbolism of trumpets? Why the symbolism of trumpets? Well, the excitement of this holy day, picturing these memorial events or monumental events, is captured in the symbolism of this festival. Ancient Israel celebrated it with a sacred assembly commemorated with blowing trumpet blasts. We see in Leviticus 23, verse 24, says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation," which is exactly what we're doing here today. You know, what a significant, and what is the significance of the dramatic sounds accompanying the observance of this day? To help us understand the symbolism of the trumpets, let's consider the use of that musical instrument throughout the Bible. You know, God instructed ancient Israel in the appropriate use of the trumpets. In that day, a hollow animal horn, known as a shofar, and metal instruments to communicate important messages. The sounding of one silver trumpet meant a meeting of the leaders of Israel. Two sounded to call a gathering of all the people. And God also used a shofar a shofar to signal his meeting with Israel when he descended upon the mount, on Mount Sinai. Trumpets could also be used to sound a warning. We see in Numbers 10 and verse 9, Numbers 10 and verse 9, it states, "When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with trumpets." In this case, brethren, the trumpets sounded a warning of impending danger and imminent warfare. Trumpets could also furnish a festive sound. We see Numbers 10 and verse 10. Numbers 10 and verse 10 says, "Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God." So, with their ability to transmit sound over great distances, trumpets were in ancient times an excellent instrument for attracting people's attention. And it does. It attracts, when you're not expecting it, it attracts a lot of attention. And notice Paul's description of the return of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay. Psalms 81, verse 3. This in connection with a feast day. It says, "Blow the trumpets at the time of the new moon on our solemn feast day." So with this being a feast day, they would have blown the trumpets and the shofar. So let's move on to the application of the meaning of trumpets. The application of the meaning of trumpets. The writers of the New Testament revealed additional understanding of the significance of the blowing of trumpets. And now we notice Paul's description of the return of Jesus Christ. And that is 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Paul also spoke. He also spoke of the day when the first fruits pictured by Pentecost will be resurrected to immortal life. Moving on to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. He says this will happen. "In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." And we shall be changed. So the awakening blast of this last trumpet will awaken the dead. You know, as we saw earlier, the Apostle John associated the blowing of a trumpet with Christ's return. With Christ's return, when he wrote in Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15. It says, "Then the seven angels sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" These passages, brethren, dramatically attest to the significance of the Feast of Trumpets. Now, although the Trumpets Festival isn't mentioned by name in the New Testament, we have no valid reason for assuming that this holy day should not be observed today. You know, we're here where God placed his name, and we're to observe these days forever. But on the contrary, the early church used the Hebrew scriptures as a foundation for the doctrine, like the Ten Commandments. Each of God's festivals is intimately and intricately related to the others. By keeping all of them, we can understand God's remarkable plan for humanity as it unfolds. Each of the holy days build on top of each other, leading to Christ's return and setting up the kingdom. And we should not ignore some of the holy days while observing others. And we don't. We don't. So, let's look at Jesus' prophetic teachings. Now, near the end of Christ's earthly ministry, the apostles asked him about the end of the present era. We notice in Matthew 24 and verse 3. Matthew 24 and verse 3 says, "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" Centuries earlier, the prophet Daniel had foretold the establishment of the kingdom of God and how the saints, or God's people, would inherit that kingdom. Like disciples, however, Daniel did not understand when the kingdom would come. Jesus, in response to his disciples' questions, laid out for them a series of events that would happen, that would lead up to his return. And he mentioned to them religious deception, wars, famines, disease, earthquakes, and other calamities. Does that sound familiar? He characterized the time of his return as an era of hatred and lawlessness. Again, does that sound familiar? In this setting, Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 14, Matthew 24 and verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Brethren, it's getting close. It's getting close. So let's look at more details in the book of Revelation. More details in the book of Revelation. You know, later, Jesus revealed many more details about this pivotal time. The book of Revelation is described as the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And here, Christ repeated through the Apostle John the same events that he had described to his disciples decades earlier. And now, however, Jesus used the symbolism of a series of seals that he would open one by one. And you can read those in Revelation 6. After this, at the beginning of God's anger against the disobedient nations, seven plagues will be poured out on a sinning world, with trumpet blast announcing each one. Finally, God will send two witnesses or prophets to proclaim his truth to a rebellious world. Such prophetic witness is compared to a trumpet warning. And tragically, this godless society of the last days will reject these two servants of God, and then we'll kill them. Let's look at Revelation 11, verses 7 through 10. Revelation 11, verses 7 through 10, says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of that great city, of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their bodies 3.5 days and not allow their bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. These dramatic events set the stage for the seventh angel's trumpet, sounding Jesus Christ's return to assume rule over the governments of this earth. Let's look at it. Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I know we've read this verse a few times, but it's so powerful. And on the same scenario, Matthew 24 says, in Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31, says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Brethren, let's take a look at some of the unprecedented events at Christ's return. You know, incredibly, when Christ returns to the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, the nations of the earth will gather to fight him. Revelation 19, verse 19, describes this impending battle. Revelation 19, verse 19. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gather together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. You got to ask yourself, why would anyone want to fight the Messiah? You know, the armies will try to destroy Christ because Satan has deceived the entire world. The devil's influence will inspire the nations to fight against Christ at his return. You know, as already mentioned, the Feast of Trumpets also signals a resurrection of the dead. A resurrection of the dead. And the Apostle Paul spoke of this event. We see in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 through 23. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 through 23. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after those who are Christ's at his second coming. And then we see in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. Paul again further explained, For the Lord himself was descended from heaven with a shout, and with a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You know, immediately followed by the people of God who are alive at that time. Revelation 20, verses 5 and 6 describes this as the first resurrection, which is also considered a better resurrection. This change to immortal life was the hope of early Christians and remains the fervent hope of all of those who understand God's plan. It's each and every one of us. So in the book of Romans, Paul depicts the resurrection as a glorious deliverance from bondage. First, we'll look at Romans 8, verse 19. Romans 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Then we see in Romans 8, verse 21. Romans 8, verse 21 says, because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And then finally in Romans 8, verse 23. Romans 8 and verse 23 says, and not only they, but also we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption or the full rights of sonship, the redemption of our body. So, brethren, when we see that, even though the tragic events lie ahead, the good news is that God will intervene to save humanity and guide mankind into his abundant way of life. Jesus Christ will return. He will return to raise his followers from death and establish God's perfect rule over the entire earth. This is the wonderful, inspiring meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. Brethren, Christ taught us to pray, Matthew 6 and verse 10, thy kingdom come. How urgently do we need this answer to this prayer?